podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another captain video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. My name is Joe and joining me to discuss the best armband candidates for game week 14 is Fantasy Football Scout's Tom Freeman. Tom, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Joe. Busy start to the week with the Tuesday deadline, of course. So working on scout picks and differentials and, of course, the captains today. So yeah, all good. Thank you.
Definitely. So before we tuck into the main candidates and discuss the topic of the hand, really, is whether we still have faith in Mo Salah as the captain. But before we do that, let's understand you've got something to say about a fan team.
Yep, so we spoke about it last week. The half-season game has launched. It doesn't start till January, so you've got a bit of time to do some tinkering. But it's free to play, completely free, 20k for the winner. So it's well worth a look. And I think there's a blog post on the fan team site now, which gives you all the information about it. So yeah, check that out.
Right, yeah. Okay, well, let's start with Salah then. So he's away to an out of sorts Everton so he got game week 13, another attacking return, another pretty much 200% effective ownership, which means heavily owned, heavily captained, pretty much he's two players instantly in the game. And there's another match where Alexander-Arnold and Jota outscored him. So do we finally move the armband off Mo Salah, look for Alexander-Arnold perhaps for this fixture where attacking and defensive returns look guaranteed? And what about Jota as well? So yeah, first of all, Mo Salah, is he your captain? Is he the best captain? And if not, who else would be?
Yeah, I suppose my take is until Salah gives us a reason to take the captaincy off him, we don't need to. We speak about it every week, but it's that consistency, which is exactly what we look for in an FPL captain. And he hasn't blanked since game week two. Mm. 17 goals in 18 games in all competitions. So, you know, I don't see a reason to take it off him. The Liverpool attack is on another level. Another four goals at the weekend. They've scored over two in their last 17 in all competitions now. But, of course, we should touch on his teammates. I mean, Jota... Mm. Put up some excellent numbers at the weekend. The only small concern I have with Jota is his minutes, which even with Firmino out, we've seen him taken off in the past three games. He was withdrawn on 80, 75 and 75 in the last three. And that doesn't sound like much, but it's still something which Salah has in his favour, given that he's a 90-minute man. I think he's played 90 minutes in every single game.
Now, this is a funny fixture because each year, this sort of midweek, early December fixture, notoriously, this is where Salah actually gets benched. I think there's been a match against Burnley. And also remember... a Merseyside derby as well, where the team sheet was quite eyebrow raising there. So, I mean, if Jota's minutes could be reduced, do you think Salah's could be? I mean, it's a congested time.
Predicting managers like Klopp and Guardiola, it's an impossible task, really. Mm. Of course, he could be.
Yeah,
I think the fact Firmino is out maybe makes it. I'm a little bit more optimistic about Salah getting the start. I think it's one of those things. Okay. Trying to predict these managers is incredibly difficult. He could be rested at any point, just like any other player could. But I fancy him to start. This is a big game. It's a Merseyside derby. We'll talk about the opposition in a bit. But taking, you know, already without Firmino, then to take Salah out as well. Yeah. Probably we're looking at, Minamino filling in or something like that. Yeah, I don't see it midweek personally. Be wrong, of course.
Salah is my captain, and it is. I mean, people say about effective ownership it shouldn't matter, but it does, because every point he gets, if you don't captain him, that's a whole player. That's 100% of Salah's points you are not getting. You're getting against yourself. So if you if you own him and captain him, you are sort of breaking even there.
Yeah.
But I guess what you're doing is you're betting that someone else is going to do better. And that worked out last game week, and it has worked out before. So, Vardy captainers, Alexander-Arnold captainers.
Yeah, sure.
Jota captainers as well. But let's look at the Liverpool stats, last four. And it does give a slight air of concern. As you said, there is that consistency with Salah, and it is a huge effective ownership. But the last four, in terms of expected goal involvement, it is Jota who is streets ahead of everyone else. Expected to be involved in just over 3 goals, and he was. 11 shots inside the box. That's the most out of Liverpool assets at the moment. He's also created 4 chances. Had 5 big chances. That's the most out of any Liverpool asset. Mane is his next competitor for the armband. Perhaps should be in our team. I think there's one manager in the top 10K, I think, who doesn't have Salah. I can't remember if I read that correct. Yeah. They don't have Salah, but they have Mane. And looking at this, Mane has been returning well. Shots inside the box for him, expected to be involved in 2.54 goals. And indeed, he has been heavily involved. 2 goals there and an assist. Then you get Salah, just under 2 goals is expected to be involved in, but 10 shots inside the box. And we've seen what he's like in Europe and Premier League, can score at any time. And that's why I'm backing him. It's that trust. Do I trust him?
Yeah.
I trust Salah to get a return. If he's on the pitch, he's going to get a return. He might not get lots of returns. He might get outscored, but he'll get a return. And then there's Alexander-Arnold. 11 chances created. 4 assists. When I see a goal and it says who got the assist, it's Alexander-Arnold. Mostly.
Yeah, so much of their play goes through him, doesn't it? The creativity, they turn to him so much. I think if you're going for Alexander-Arnold, we spoke about it last week, you're relying on that clean sheet. And had I captained Alexander-Arnold at the weekend, I might have been feeling a little bit uneasy because Southampton did have a couple of good chances. Armstrong, I think I think they racked up about 1.34 XG in total from that match, Southampton. So again, you're relying on it. I mean, Everton, they're not in a good moment at the moment. They haven't won since game week 6. The fan base felt a bit toxic yesterday after they lost at Brentford. I thought they're conceding goals, but they do have players coming back.
Yeah.
If we're looking for a positive, Decore came back yesterday. Gray came off the bench. Richarlison's back from suspension.
Yeah.
I think Liverpool will put 2 or 3 past them midweek. But if you're thinking about captaining a defender like Alexander-Arnold, just be wary that the Everton have got a few key personnel coming back.
They have indeed. So, they usually start the match with the Zed Cards music, but I think they might be switching to Casualty or Holby City for this one. It's looking pretty dire.
Right.
You mentioned about the defence there. So we always look at that. You know, what are the stats of the key candidates and what are their sort of defences like? So this is the last 4, the so-called whipping boys. These are the worst defences. So you can see the best defences there. That's City, Chelsea, Brighton still, Crystal Palace and Tottenham as well. So getting shored up there in defence. But it's up top here. It's Newcastle, Manchester United, Leicester, Watford, Brentford. And we'll come to Brentford in a bit for those that want to back a Spurs asset. But Everton, they're sort of, they've conceded 10 big chances. Their XG is nearly 6, and they have conceded 6. So they're sort of doing as they should be, really. And just that one clean sheet out of the last 4. I mean, that defence, they don't look great. And Liverpool are looking fabulous in attack. So
that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, we can look at defensive stats, but we've seen what Liverpool and Salah specifically, you know, he returned against Man City and elite defences like that. He scored against Chelsea. I know it was from the penalty spot, but, you know, even if you're talking about the best defences in the league, it's still hard to back against Salah right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think those that are like us, not backing Salah for the armband, I would be minded to back another Liverpool asset because Liverpool are so streets ahead of the others in terms of attacking fantasy Premier League point potential. I'm quite cautious there because then City, Chelsea fans might say, hey, our team's better. I'm talking particularly in fantasy Premier League point scoring potential and captaincy scoring potential. Yeah. Just before we move on, I just want to thank those that have joined us in the change of time and change of date captaincy video live stream. Thanks so much for joining us, Wanijari, Nuclear Atoms, Ching Kim Lee, Martin, Kamsi, Steve C, James, Guy, Robin, and FPL Rubber Ducky. So apologies for those that I haven't quite mentioned. I was just skimming up the list live on air. Thanks so much for joining us. Just 34 likes. Hundreds of you, though, in the live chat. Thanks so much for joining us. 34 likes, though. That needs to be rectified. Please press the like button. It does help us. It does something complicated with the algorithms. And even if you don't like it, just press it anyway. Remember to subscribe and all the usual things that YouTubers say. Let's move on. Expected goal involvement stats. So this might give us some help here. Jota's top. So, yeah, if you're not going to captain Salah, Jota's there, you know.
That's probably where I'd go at Liverpool. Yeah, I
definitely would as well. So in terms of the expected goal involvement, he is absolutely top there. And then you've got Josh King. Tough couple of fixtures, though. Tough fixture this week. But then our man Adam Armstrong, both our teams, and it was needed this week, his 2 points, with so many disappointment, so much disappointment with the lack of players, lack of first 11 players.
Sure.
Adam Armstrong against Leicester, Southampton Leicester. That tends to have some goals, Leicester goals. I'll just mention it here. Adam Armstrong, I'm tempted to vice-captain him.
Well, Leicester are ropey at the back, aren't they? They improved yesterday, but they haven't kept a clean sheet since game week one.
Yeah.
They've been all over the shop, really. And so my initial thoughts coming out of the deadline of the weekend was I was going to sell Armstrong this week, which would enable me to bring in a Chelsea wing-back. Now I'm looking at this fixture and I'm looking at the alternatives in that forward category. Given King is the obvious replacement, but he has a couple of tougher fixtures, I'm kind of looking at Armstrong now thinking, oh, well, I might keep him.
Yeah.
I'm not captain him, but no. I might keep him.
Definitely. A few other names to mention there. I guess the interesting thing about here is how far down Salah is. So compared to all of this expected goal involvement, last four game weeks, Jota top, King, Armstrong, Mane is up there, and Trossard, Aubameyang, and then you've got to go all the way down after Tony is Salah, and just above Pukki. So Salah's better than Pukki, you heard it here first, but not as good as Tony in terms of expected goal involvement. So interesting. Further weight perhaps not to captain him for those that don't.
Oh, yeah, a few on that list have kind of benefited from a few penalties, haven't they? Which is another thing which Salah does have over the likes of Jota and Trent. But yeah, you know, it feels like we need a big performance from Salah. He's been ticking along, but it'd be nice to get double digits, wouldn't it?
Definitely. So if we're also going to look at elsewhere for the armbands, Spurs could be at the place. They're rested. They were due to play Burnley. I've got, just before we put a Spurs picture, I'll just put this picture up of Sean Dyche. It is practically his swimming trunks in the middle of a blizzard. So he's in his shirt and tie. Everyone else there is in full Scott of the Antarctic parkas. There's a blizzard blowing, and he doesn't look like he's got, perhaps he hasn't got a care in the world, because it was a depleted side, and so he might have felt that his team perhaps got away with that. But it is Spurs, and they're not great at the moment. And
no,
Kane's in your team, and he's my team, and you know, vice captain, maybe captain. I don't know if he is a captain. Anyway, look, here's the stats. Last four. This is I mean. Do you have any faith in a Spurs option for a captain?
I mean, that is the issue. There is nothing to go on by handing Kane the captaincy because they've offered so little. I mean, for Kane, he did score against Dennis Mura last week, but it was in the Conference League against much weaker opposition, a bit like the England goals. I don't think you can read too much into it. He hit the post against Leeds from that deflected effort. But it feels like too much. I mean, he is my vice captain, but there's a big difference between a vice and a captain, and I don't feel ready to make that leap. Ideally, he will put in a good shift this week, and then we can talk about him ahead of next week's game against Norwich a bit more, or the next weekend's game, sorry. Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, we say they're rested. I think they arguably need games at the moment, though. Yeah. The only positive is that they'll have a training session today. Previously, it would have been a rest day today. At least they're in today now, and they're getting the coach by Conte, and it's another session, which is important. Brentford kept the clean sheet yesterday, but there's been some mixed performances from them recently. I see Spurs winning this one. I think Kane and Son can get something, but yeah. I'm certainly not as confident as backing a team like Liverpool at the moment, no. And that's the difference.
No, there will be some people out there thinking, I've got Kane, I've got Son. Is this the time to hand the armband to them? But looking at the stats there, expected goal involvement, last four, Reguilón is top. Just over one goal. Kane, not even a goal, is expected to have been involved in. He is just marginally ahead of Ben Davis. So that puts him in the context. And Son is lagging behind. So Son is perhaps not being asked under Conte to be a goal scorer as much as Kane is. Or indeed Reguilón is. So
I just think it's been they just haven't clicked going forward, apart from that second half against Leeds where there was small signs of improvement. We need to see a bit more of Conte. He needs more time with that team. I think Son will come good in the end. He's too good a player not to, but it feels like we need to see something from Spurs before truly considering them again. Just something to go on.
There was
That's the way I feel.
Yeah, on the team news video and podcast last week, we highlighted Conte's quote about Spurs, which was along the lines of, I can't believe how rubbish they are. So if he's saying that, then he knows he's got a big job to do, and perhaps it might be some weeks before we consider a Spurs asset for the captaincy. But as you said, we're looking out for something, some kind of change. Perhaps this game could be the kickstart.
Yeah,
of that.
I hope so.
But I'm going to field the Brentford goalkeeper just in case as well.
Wow, yeah, looked better yesterday. Actually, he kept the clean sheet, didn't he? So
could be Spanish under.
You never know.
Spanish under 21 international.
You never know.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to look at the other fixtures because there are other candidates out there.
There are, yeah.
So looking at the fixtures here, is that Southampton Leicester one? Vardy, he's got a bit of form, and if Armstrong's a little too risky for you, Vardy for the armband, why not?
Yeah, I mean, looked good yesterday, and I think key to that performance was Maddison. I think if Maddison is back and performing well, it's going to improve Vardy's prospects no end, because he's looking for those through balls. Vardy's on the shoulder of the last man, always looking for those balls and to make those runs in behind. And so I think he had 5 shots in the box yesterday, which was more than he had over the last 4 game weeks combined. Yeah. So that just shows the impact of it. My only concern with Vardy is minutes, because he hasn't been playing midweek matches given his age.
Yeah.
Now, I think, I'm writing Captain Sensible for later, and we've got a quote from Rodgers in there which talks about it. And the fact that even if he does play in midweek, does he lose that bit of explosiveness, which he's so reliant on? That makes me a little bit concerned about saying definitely captain him, just because I could see his, even if he does start, maybe coming off a Daka after 70 minutes or something.
Okay.
But Southampton conceded 4 at the weekend. They have looked better defensively prior to that. They kept clean sheets at City and West Ham this season. Again, you wouldn't be surprised if Leicester scored a couple.
Speaking of rotation, Cancelo has started every game. And like Alexander-Arnold, they've actually been quite reliable as a captaincy option for those, mostly this season. But yeah, could there be rotation against Villa? And also, you're a Villa fan. I mean, what about Steven Gerrard's Villa now? They're looking at absolutely transformed. Put me off a City asset for the captaincy, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I think... I went up to the game against Brighton. I watched the game at the weekend against Palace, and we're a lot more organised. We're playing a 4-3-3. The defensive shape is so much better. He's got Nakamba, McGinn and Ramsey in midfield, and they just look really solid, to be honest.
Yeah.
Ashley Young's come back into the team as well and looks like a different player.
Yeah.
And so City will win this game, I think. I'm not saying that Villa have suddenly become prime AC Milan or anything like that in terms of their defence. City, I think, will score a couple. But we're more positive about Villa, certainly than were a few weeks ago. I like Gundogan for this one. We put Gundogan in the scout picks on Friday, which drew quite a few comments saying, hey, you know, Bernardo Silva surely, but we fancied him for this one. Yeah. I think Gundogan, when De Bruyne isn't around, he takes on that number eight role, and I think he's a good option. That's where I'd be looking, I think, if I went for City this week. But I think there are better options elsewhere.
Okay, and the final match of the game weeks, Manchester United against Arsenal. Ronaldo is Ronaldo, but you know, can we keep? I mean, he's now not nailed on to start. He's the king of pressing. is about to, the man who invented pressing. I always thought it was Robbie Savage myself, but apparently annoying other players and pressing them was invented in Germany. So. He's coming in, and Ronaldo's not known for that. So, all of that puts me off Ronaldo, and the fact that it's Arsenal.
Yeah, benched yesterday. They went with Sancho, Fernandes, and Rashford up front. Carrick was adamant after the game that Rangnick had no influence on his tactics or his personnel. I'm not quite so sure about that. Yeah. But there's enough uncertainty with Ronaldo. I think he does start personally, but there's enough uncertainty around it probably to put you off. Arsenal, they've improved a bit. I think Liverpool saw that they're not quite the finished product yet. But again, better fixtures to look at, I think, than this one.
Definitely. I mean, as with Kane, it's another premium captaincy candidate that there are question marks over, which then, means that we put more faith in a player that we trust more to get attacking returns weekly. Sure. And that is Salah still at the moment. The only other ones I mentioned were, for those who like to take a risk, Callum Wilson or Pukki in the Tuesday evening relegation scrap, Newcastle against Norwich. I mean, this is absolute must win. Whichever team doesn't win this the confidence would just be shot to pieces. So,
I think I'd favour Pukki over Wilson, though, because Norwich have improved defensively under Smith, and you can't say the same for Newcastle under Howe. They look pretty good against Wolves, I think, at the weekend. They were a bit unfortunate not to win that one. Wilson, he's a reliable asset, FPL asset, isn't he? But I don't know. I think that looks an all right one for Pukki. I mean, Newcastle still haven't kept a clean sheet all season, have they? Haven't even won a game.
No, I agree. Out of those two, I think if you're minded to go that way, Pukki is. We had a question from Ben in the chat. Is there a scout cast this week? There is, but it's later. So there's no pre-game week 14 scout cast. TED Talks is sort of taking a bit of a preview for game week 14, as is this show that you are now watching. Or listening to, if you're listening to the podcast version. But there will be a scout cast ahead of game week 15, and that takes place on Thursday at 5:30, and that's going to be live as well. And we've got FPL Sonaldo and Seb joining me, so that's awesome. Good. We've scraped the Pukki barrel, but is there anyone else we can scrape for this?
Should probably mention the Chelsea wing backs at Watford.
Oh, yeah.
But the only concern is that James has played 90 minutes in four back-to-back games now, including the one in Europe. Yeah. So it feels like Azpilicueta will get some minutes in the next week or so. I don't know if it might come this week. Yeah. If you're looking at a fixture to rest him in, possibly. Feels like we need Lukaku back. He came off the bench at the weekend. Once he's back and installed in the starting 11, then he becomes a real option for Chelsea with the captaincy. I suppose a wild card pick, if I was looking at it, would be Rafinha at home against Palace. Mm-hmm. Palace cannot defend set pieces this season. They've conceded more goals from set pieces than any other side, more attempts from set pieces than any other side. Again, you're back in a Leeds team which aren't fully firing at the moment. But I think that's, Rafinha could be a really good option this week because Palace have got, or they've had Anderson out. Tompkins came in at the weekend. That's unsettled them a bit. McCarthy's out as well. So I quite fancy Leeds for this one. And the set piece aspect makes me think Rafinha is probably the best bet there.
Yeah, good.
Antonio,
That's Antonio against Brighton. The two issues there is that West Ham, well, Antonio is not getting the fantasy points and hasn't for a long time. No, and Brighton are one of the best defences still at the moment. Despite a few handful of very odd Brighton fans booing. They apparently don't like having one of the most innovative managers in Europe and playing top flight football. I mean,
I was surprised by that, mate. Were they just all cold and a bit frustrated?
I don't know. But the thing is, I mean, as someone who has seen them play, God knows, Rotherham at Priestfield Stadium when we ground shared, and Rochdale rocking up at, you know, a rainy night with Dean. I would love to be in the Amex still. And I mean, top flight football, great man.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you need to get a bit of perspective at times, don't you?
Definitely. That's it now. I think that's it. We've scraped all the barrel there.
We have, yeah.
Clear choices. Remember the deadlines there. Game week 14 starts on Tuesday, 30th November. Thanks so much for joining me, Tom. Thanks for everyone who's joined us in the live chat, and especially those who press the like button. In the meantime, Tom, good luck with your captaincy decision this week.
Thanks, Joe. See you soon.